Business doesn't have to be as hard as you're making it. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindset. Welcome to Well-Oiled Operations. With over 2 million downloads, it's the go-to podcast dedicated to helping you increase your profit margins while getting your time back. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 20 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Whether you're a brick and mortar or an online business owner, it doesn't matter. I've got both, and I'll show you my framework to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. It's time to get your business less reliant on you. All right, today we're talking about the four must-have essentials to outperforming last year. Welcome back to our Plan to Profit series. This is part two. So these are all standalone trainings. So if you're like, oh my goodness, I missed part one, you can actually still listen to this, but I highly recommend you definitely check out part one as well. So I think as a high achiever, high performer, there is nothing worse than not beating last year's results, right? I think when we all set goals, we know that whatever we did last year was just like the minimum we know we've got to hit for next year, right? How do we outperform? It is in our DNA. Like a lot of us can't even fathom what it would feel like to not outperform the year before. Now, in 2022, I actually thought this was going to be the first year that I did less than the year before. And it was really, really hard to sit with. And I kept thinking, okay, I don't even like the feeling of this or knowing that this is happening. So what can I be excited about? And even though I thought I was going to have lower gross revenues than last year, I kept focusing on, but the profit margin's up. And that's really what matters, right? But there was still something in me that was like, but I want it all. I want the higher gross revenues and I want the profit margin. Now, thankfully, because I did not give up, as I'm recording this, we actually do look like we're going to surpass last year's revenue, which just gives me this, like, I don't even know how to describe it. It is such a not fake sense of accomplishment because it is real, but it just makes me feel like, okay, I'm moving in the right direction. Because again, our brains are telling us we've got to do better than last year. Now, I say this because even if I didn't surpass it, I really was looking at, but what is working and what am I happy about? And what am I glad that I did, even if I don't do as high, right? At my event that I had back in October, I talked about the difference between sustaining, right, versus scaling. And I really was kind of talking myself into believing that this was just a sustaining year to kind of get back on track to really scale the next year. But I know most of you, sustaining is not something exciting, right? You want to scale. So this is what today's episode is all about, okay? So there are four things I want you thinking about as you're considering how do I scale next year. Okay, the first piece that I want you to think about is your strategy, okay? What is going to be your strategy this year? Now, I always have an inspiration or a model that isn't me. Okay. You want to find somebody who's already doing what it is you want to do. Okay. I always tell people, why are you trying to recreate the wheel? Why would you not just look at something that is proven, right? That's already happening to make it that much easier. Okay. There are already proven models out there working. Okay. So find your model, find your muse, find your inspiration. And here's the big question I want you to ask yourself. Who are you modeling? Be careful, okay? I was modeling somebody a few years ago, and I honestly started to get a little worried because this person I could tell was a hustler. They were getting sick a lot. They were really tired all the time. Their turnover on their team was insane. Like, there were so many things I was looking at to go, do I really want this? Because if I keep modeling this, I'm going to end up like this person. Now, this person was incredible, great strategy, but I'm looking at the overall lifestyle, right? I'm looking at, do I want to be this type of mom? Do I want to be this type of boss? Do I want, right? Do you see what I'm saying? So you've got to be careful. Who are you modeling? And is it truly what you're looking for? So some of you, that might've just turned you off for me. You might actually look at me and think, I don't really want her lifestyle. I don't really want the way that she's doing X, Y, Z. And some of you are like, oh my goodness, this is exactly what I want. I think she's balanced. I think she's right. So I want you picturing or really getting clear on what you're looking for, because how will you find the right model? Okay. Now, With that said, I want you to be on the lookout for your, now that your muse or your inspiration, somebody who is a few or many steps ahead of you, right? So that you can see what works and what doesn't. So I actually have a few people that I am modeling. I have somebody who is just a few steps ahead, right? So I can really truly see like, what is my next step? And then I have somebody who is very far ahead. There are many steps, but it's helpful because I can see the big picture. Okay. Now this changes, right? The more people that fly on my radar that capture my attention, I go, ooh, I'm loving this, right? I just saw somebody where I actually know some behind the scenes and everything they're doing. I'm like, this is exciting. And then somebody said, and he's never on social media and he's never. And I go, okay, hold up. I need to know what he's doing if this is what's happening and he's never having to do XYZ, right? So this is where I start to dig into people's businesses to really understand how they're doing it. I am not kidding when I will tell you, I have even bought programs where I'm like, oh, I'm not here for the content. I'm literally stalking how they're running this program. That might sound crazy, but to me, the investment is understanding somebody else's well-oiled machine to go, how can I do something like this that's going to be in alignment, okay? Now, after being inspired by so many people, right, I've got different variations, my unique model pops up. So well-oiled isn't like this exact one program I stocked. Do you see what I'm saying? I have maybe found something from here that I liked, and then I bought this thing and I like that. I'm like, ooh, I love how they do this. So all of a sudden I get something that's very unique, but there's not a lot of unique stuff going on in it. It's just what I love from other people doing certain things. So I might have been inspired by seven people and now well-oiled has been birthed. Does that make sense? Okay. So no one book taught me this. No one mentor did it this way. It was just me searching and figuring out what was happening. Okay. Now, something that I want to share is my webinar that I have right now. Okay. So my webinar, I actually watch two totally different people that do webinars very successfully. And I like the way this one person taught. And then I really like this, the way that one person actually sold. Now that can be a really risky move. I want to make sure you hear me say this. Copying two people that do things a little bit differently and putting it together, merging the two, can actually be really risky because the person A might have done this a certain way and taught this certain way. So the selling came, it made sense, or person B, right? But I merged the two and I really looked at it strategically and said, I think these could work together. Okay. But here's what's cool is you wouldn't watch my webinar and go, oh, she copied this person. You might go, oh, I feel like it looks like this person's, but she doesn't do it this way at the end, or he doesn't do it this way in the beginning, or whatever it is, right? So that's another thing is when you have a few variations and you merge it, that's how you become super unique, okay? Now, please hear me when I say this. Different industries. Do not model your biggest competitor, okay? My webinar is not from a competitor. Neither the people I'm talking about are competitors. If you are modeling your competitors, they are going to hear about it and they are not going to be happy. And another thing is your current potential clients could see it and go, oh my goodness, she's ripping off this person. So you've got to be careful when I say muse and inspiration. Don't steal people's stuff and clone it, okay? So just be really, really careful. Now, here's what I suggest when looking for a muse or a model, okay? Find one to two people that you are using as an inspiration. I want you to think outside the box, okay? I want you to think when Amazon drops something off, what you love about it or what you loved about the package, or when you go to the local ice cream shop with your kiddos, like what did you learn from that, okay? I want you to just look at other industries. One of the reasons that people love our mastermind is because we are not just online business owners, or we are not just local brick and mortar people. Like there is a million different types of businesses inside of Powerhouse and everybody is so different. Some people have physical locations. Some people are strictly virtual. Some people have physical products and they have warehouses. Like there is so many different types of people. And we always say, do not exclude yourself when you hear somebody talking that's not you. Think, how can I do this even though I'm not what this person is, right? So I love thinking outside of the box. And I think that's what makes us so unique as well, is we're not just like stuck in our little like cohort of online business or local brick and mortar or physical product space, right? Okay, next is don't funnel hack broken or not selling funnels. Okay. Russell Brunson's huge on like funnel hack, but you've got to make sure that the person you're hacking is actually successful. Never ever would I copy something that I don't think was selling well, right? Or if you can tell a business is starting to not do well, like stop using them as your muse. So be careful when you see something like this, and you've got to be smart enough to think something's not right here. Okay. Now, this is a massive system that we use inside of our business for me and the marketing team specifically. Okay. Now, here's what I want you to hear when I'm talking about this, when it comes to this muse, is be observant and create inspiration from it. Okay. So here's what I'm talking about. When I decide, oh, I love this, I might screenshot on my phone. I have an album on my phone of different pictures, different ads, different social media. Maybe I see somebody's physical space and I'm like, oh, I love this. And I'm swiping photos, right? Anytime I walk into a business and I see something amazing, I take a photo and I throw it in that album. So how can you have this like library of all this inspiration for when you come back and go, okay, time for me to start creating an email, right? Or, oh, this is a great website. Or I love the way they sell this on social media. I'm snapping all of those photos, okay? Another thing is like Google Drive folders. I will do like, let's say, I love this app. It's called, I think it's Go Full Page. It's a Google Chrome extension. And you can literally take a screenshot of like in one button, like one push, a screenshot of like a massive sales page or a massive landing page or a website or anything. So sometimes when I see somebody's website, I'm like, oh, this is so good, or this is so well written. Well, you have to remember they can update that at any moment, and maybe you like it, but they don't, and they go to change it. You can save somebody's sales page by doing this, and then I'll throw that in a Google Drive. So when I go to redo a sales page or create something new, I go into my folder and I go, oh, I remember I loved this one. Ooh, I liked that one. And what if we merged this header with this bottom? And do you see what I'm saying? So I really am, when I'm talking, like, let's remember what we're talking about here. How do we outperform? Okay. How do we get better? And the more inspiration I see, right, and then move forward with actually creating it, the more I'm going to have like better results when I'm hacking a winning funnel. Okay. Another thing, email swipe files and promotions, right? Maybe you forgot to do a Black Friday sale, but you saw a killer one that you loved. Save that email for next year, okay? There's a saves folder on Instagram, right? Go down a rabbit hole, be open, look for it. It's out there. Don't just consume without thinking. Consume and go, I love what this person's doing. Oh, I love how she shared this. I love how he did this, right? Observe what you like, what you don't like. What is your unique twist? How can you combine and make this be so unique to you specifically? Okay. Now, and this is where I feel like our winning Facebook ad right now is such a great example of that. So everybody was doing these two-person ads where, you know, it would be like me over here and I look normal, and then I'm wearing a wig and glasses and I'm like being person B. And to me, that was just not like when my Facebook ads person said, okay, do you have a wig? Like, I am not wearing a wig on an ad. Like, I don't care how amazing these ads are doing. Like, I just don't want to do that. Okay. It's not my brand. It's not my style. Like, I'm going to feel so stupid. And they're like, well, listen, the two-person ads are doing really well. And I'm like, okay, what is my style? So I knew I had in my back pocket Tegan loving to be on camera. So I thought, okay, what if I was doing this with Tegan? Now I get to be me and be professional and be like normal Stacey, and I get to have Tegan in there. But because she's so young and cute, like there could be something that works really well. So I didn't see somebody do an ad with them and their daughter. I saw people doing two-person ads, didn't really like it, and thought, how can I do this differently? And that ad, I think now is over 1 million views, okay? So I want you to see how my brain is working. I'm looking at what's trendy, what's hot, what's working. And then I'm like, what can I do it in my style, okay? Versus what everybody else just did and go, I got to get a wig and glasses because everybody's doing these two people ad, right? So be careful. Okay, so next, I want to talk about the second must-have, okay? Which is consumption, right? Consumption must be a part of your strategy for 2023, okay? So what do I mean by that? So first of all, yes, I think free consumption 100%, but 100% paid. Like, hear me out when I say I have always paid for education since I've been 21 years old. I am now 38. I can't ever fathom not doing paid stuff as well, okay? So yes, I do things right now for free, but everything I do for free, there is a paid version of that I do somewhere where I pay somebody else. I would never think I'm good enough or smart enough to just do free something. I'm just not there yet, and here's why. I am only at a certain level, and I want to outperform, like I just said, and I don't know how to outperform myself yet. Okay. You don't know how to outperform yourself yet because you would have already done it if you knew. So how can I make sure that I am paying and investing in mentors who have already done it? So be very, very careful. If a free podcast is part of your strategy and you do not have any courses or coaching programs you're following, I would not recommend that. I could never imagine thinking podcasts are good enough. Yeah, they're good enough for standalone trainings, but they're not in order. You don't get feedback. You're not asking for coaching. Like, do not allow free podcasts to be your only education, okay? Same things with masterminds. Like, if you're like, oh, I've got a group of friends. We're just meeting for free. This is so nice. We're saving all this money. I love that a peer-led mastermind could be great for you. Never, ever would I not do a paid mastermind because I'm saving money. Trust me when I say you're not saving money when you're not investing in yourself, okay? So my question for you is, what podcasts, like, let's talk free for a second. What podcasts, what books, what courses? I know courses and programs are not free, but they're still lower ticket. What do you need to start doing? Who do you need to start going deeper with? Okay. If you're like, I don't have time for courses. I get this all the time. It feels like, I don't even know how to describe that when somebody says, but I just don't have time, Stacey. I'm usually the person that says that to my face. Is never busier than me. And I'm like, listen, if I am doing courses, if I am joining programs, if I am in masterminds, how on earth can you tell me you don't have time for it? Okay. And here's another thing. If I, at my level of multiple seven figures a year, can still make the time and figure out how to make the time, and you have not figured out how to make the time yet, that's probably why you're not at the level you want to be at. So be really, really careful. Okay. Now, with consumption, though, you don't want to get too crazy. I would pick like 2 to 3 podcasts and go all in with theirs and never miss an episode with theirs versus having 10, 15, and you just kind of hop around, okay? I would devour, and then I would decide from there, who am I resonating with the most? What content is the best that I'm really getting the most out of? And what is their next level? How can I go deeper with them, okay? When I find an amazing podcast, and I'll tell you this right now, I don't even listen to a podcast that I have not bought things from those people. Why? Because the podcast is always barely scratching the surface from what's on the inside. So to me, I'm just a go all in type of person. And I'm not going to go, you know what? They've got 500 free podcasts. I'm just going to listen to those before I jump in. I'm going to listen to a few. And when I'm going, oh my goodness, this is my person, I'm immediately going to the top and saying, what do they have? Okay. So think about that. And then maybe think about, instead of just like one book a month, one book a week, one book, whatever it is, right? Really ask yourself, what do I need this year? What is my theme? What is my focus? And what are books that make sense with that focus specifically? Okay. Okay. Next is support and accountability. Okay. So we talked about strategy, right? We talked about consumption, like consuming, learning, educating. Now, the reason I say support and accountability next is because you've been listening, you've been reading, you've been watching, but maybe the level of doing hasn't been what you want it to be, okay? Maybe you just need a little bit of like, hey, how's it going? What do you need? Or you need answers to your questions, right? So support and accountability is huge. Where is your support coming from next year? Who will you ask a question when you get stuck? When you have a business decision to make, where will you go? Okay. So entrepreneurship can be incredibly lonely, right? You can have a spouse, you can have friends, you can have employees and still feel terribly alone, okay? Because nobody gets what you're going through specifically, okay? You're staring at like a negative profit margin, right? Or you're looking at the profit and loss this month and you're not loving it. And now all of a sudden somebody's demanding a raise, right? Your spouse wants to see you more. They're like telling you how much you're working, right? But there's so much to do in your business. You are having less and less in common with your friends, right? That maybe have 9-to-5 jobs. Who do you talk to, right? What does this look like? So be careful. Your big goals and your big struggles, you've got to share those with the right people, Okay. We're heading into holidays. There are people I will never tell them what I'm working on. And there are people that I can say it and they're like, oh, that's amazing. And I know you're going to do it, right? Because I've kind of like earned their trust and they know when I say something, I'm going to do it. There are some people that just don't believe big goals or big dreams or it just sounds so crazy. They're like, oh, okay, wow. Like that's never going to happen, right? So just be careful who you're sharing that with. Okay. Now, I wouldn't do business without being in a mastermind. I have to say that here, okay? But I also have to warn you that not all masterminds are created equal, okay? You've got to pick the right mastermind, okay? I also want to share that a lot of times masterminds are called masterminds, but they're really just group coaching programs, okay? So mastermind is a buzzword. And a true mastermind is where the room is at a level where they actually can give feedback, okay? A group coaching program is where there's like an expert and everybody's coming for their expertise. Now, some of you are in masterminds right now that are actually group coaching programs, right? But you want to make sure that you're in a group where the minds are strong enough and experienced enough to share, okay? I will tell you that even inside a powerhouse, I am learning something new every week. I take notes during our calls, okay? This group is incredible, which keeps the ideas fresh. Okay. So be picky about your mastermind. All right. And I would make sure that the group, this is another thing, I would make sure the group is constantly being added to. I was in a mastermind for about 3 years where the group practically stayed the same. And although we loved each other and the group, like I'm still very, very close friends with these people, we didn't have a lot of fresh ideas. And I honestly feel that that stalled some of like the success in the room because it was like, we knew what everybody was doing. And I really truly believe in getting fresh blood, fresh ideas. We're actually, as I'm doing this, like we're getting ready for our next round of our mastermind or for the one I'm paying to be in. And I'm so excited to see like the new people coming in. Right? Like to me, that is where so much value is of like the new person coming in versus having the same people you keep getting closer with, but you already know what all of you are doing. Like it can stall very quickly. All right. So you want to be adding to your circle constantly. Okay. So if you're in a mastermind and you're in it for several years, really look at, is the room filled with the same people that were here 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago? Okay. If the answer is no, there's actually quite a few new people, then I think you're okay. But if you're in this room and it's like the same people from last year or the year before, and there's not fresh blood coming in, I would pause because we just talked about this. You're trying to outdo last year. How can you outdo last year with the same information, right? The same strategy. We've got to up level the people we're in the room with. Okay. Next, who will you hire as a coach? Okay. Somebody who holds you accountable and can check in on you. So this is one of the reasons our programs have that weekly accountability because people don't need more info. They don't need more training. They don't need more strategy. They just need somebody to check in and hold their feet to the fire. How will you get coaching and support and who will you get it from? Okay. Now, next, who is your inner circle, like your free friends? Okay. So like I said before, I would never just have free friends, but I definitely want to make sure I am building my network and I can connect. And it is one of many ways I do this. So if I have a quick question, who could I quickly talk to? If it's something really personal, maybe I don't want to publicly share it. What does that look like? And how am I finding these friends? Like where, what rooms are they in? Like a lot of my free friends, I want to say, were originally paid friends. Like I paid to be in certain masterminds and I've kept those relationships for years. Okay. But again, every year I'm up leveling those people. Every year, some of those people get to come with me and some of them I kind of let go of. I let go of purposely reaching out, purposely trying to engage and coach and talk to them, right? If I'm like, you know what, this just isn't a person who's pushing me anymore, or they're kind of heading in a different direction and we just don't match up with our goals, that's somebody I kind of like drop off with, right? And I'm also asking myself, who's coming in my new circle this year that I didn't have last year? Like, do you see my theme? I'm constantly like, how do I say this? It's kind of like, I love the analogy of like showing like a cup of Diet Coke. when you pour water into it, the more water you pour, pretty soon it flushes out the Diet Coke and it's pure water at the end of it. Okay. And every year I'm like flushing my inner circle. I'm flushing the people that I'm surrounding myself with. I'm flushing even team members, right? People that it's like, you know what? This person is not the right person to take us to 10 million. We've got a really clean house and add amazing people. So who are we letting go of and who are we adding? I'm doing this constantly with everybody in my life. Okay. So I want you thinking about who is somebody that maybe is not a good fit anymore to be in your inner circle. Every year there's somebody. I guarantee it. There is somebody that is holding you back. You're doing more coaching than they're coaching you, right? You're almost there as like a mentor, but you're not really getting your cup filled. You're filling theirs. Be careful. You're letting those people in your inner circle. Okay. Now, another thing too, this is kind of how I know that this person is no longer somebody I can use as like a partnership, like accountability together. If I have a friend that is not implementing and we touch base a month later and I'm like, hey, what are you up to? What did you do? And they're constantly like, oh, I haven't done that yet. I haven't done that yet. This is a sign of if they can't hold themselves accountable, they're never gonna be able to hold me accountable, right? Because they're thinking, well, I didn't do my goals. Why would I tell Stacey she didn't do her goals, right? I have to surround myself with people that are getting things done, okay? I am also very careful. This is a big one that I want you to hear because I think a lot of people in the online space especially can have quick success, okay? Very quick success. I have seen million-dollar businesses blow up quickly. How many million-dollar businesses have I seen this year that actually publicly posted they're no longer going to be in business? It's crazy. So one of the things that I want to kind of think about with you, and I want you to be thinking about whether this is like a friend, this is a coach, this is a mastermind, I am very careful with a newbie with quick success. So I don't really care if you've made 5 million so far. If you've only been in business a couple of years, I'm very cautious when I look at that, okay? I know when you hit the 5-year mark, the 10-year mark in business, when you've been through a recession, like there are different things that you've gone through and somebody with quick success has not had that experience quite yet. So I'm not saying that these people aren't successful. I'm just saying there's a lot of things they have yet to learn because they just haven't had the experience, okay? So be careful not to jump too quickly to somebody's quick success that hasn't lasted a while. Just like they say, like lottery winners, when they win, a lot of times they'll lose all of that money within a certain amount because it's just not their identity. And when you have somebody that's quickly successful, that hasn't really built it and has had it long, like longevity wise, right? You've just got to be really careful. So I say that because there's a lot of people that like can take off and then it's like, well, they haven't really done it long term. So be careful. Okay. Now, this is not to say, oh, I'm better than this person. It's just that we are in different stages. Okay. Just like somebody who's at 20 million a year isn't interested in talking to me because really all they can do is coach me. Most likely I'm not really able to coach them, right? I'm not offended. I just think one day when I'm at 20 million, I will be in that room, right? And I will have things to offer. In the meantime, I've got to get to work to earn my spot in those rooms with people that are at a larger scale, okay? So please do not take offense of like, oh my goodness, I can't believe she's saying to weed these people out. And this is strictly just an honest strategy of something that I think has really helped me. If you've heard the saying about you're the average of the 5 people you hang out with, and you just heard me say that, but you're like very disconnected from doing that, then your average 5 is absolutely keeping you stuck. So be very, very careful. Okay. All right. Next. I also want you thinking about who is on your team when you're thinking about the people you're surrounding yourself with, okay? So with your team, who is your right hand on your team? Who is like the people on your leadership team? What is their mindset? What is their drive? What is their attitude, right? Are they capable of getting you to the next big goal? Will they still be here when you get there, okay? I want you to really look at the people that you're surrounding yourself with on a daily basis. I have definitely had the wrong people on my team before where maybe their negativity would start to question my belief. Like, oh, well, she didn't think I was able to do X. Like maybe we shouldn't, maybe we should lower our goals. Like I've had like complainers, people that are, every time I would say something and it'd be exciting, it would be like, ooh, that feels like a lot of work, right? You've got to be careful about the people you're putting in these positions, okay? I am obsessed with my team right now. Like these people are just like the most incredibly hardworking, like amazing. One of the things that we're doing together because even my mindset, like I have to continuously increase it. Same thing with them. Like we are working massively this year on their mindset. They've got the strategy. They've got the work ethic. They've got the drive. We all need to up-level the mindset for the sake of when I say something, if I'm not believing in myself, I want one of them to say to me, hey, hold up. Why couldn't you do that? Like I want them to be able to coach me in the moment if I'm having a moment, right? So I'm really looking at, I love the people I work with and how do we collectively up-level together? So think about that. Sometimes people get nervous of like, I'm really into this and my spouse isn't. And I feel like we're separating because we're just not on the same page. This is the same thing with your team. If you're really into learning and growing and personal growth and all of that, and they're not, you're going to grow apart. And at some point you're going to have to let them go. My team is so growth minded. They get excited about courses. They get excited about conferences. If anybody would say to me like, oh, I'm good. I don't think I want to learn anymore. They just would not fit on our team. So who are you bringing onto your team? Are these the right people? Okay. Okay. Last piece that I want to bring up. So this is strategy number four, is really looking at reducing your inefficiencies and recognizing your bad habits. Okay. So this is a big one because we're comfortable. We like what we do. We love what it looks like to do X, Y, Z, but there is a point where you have to like flush those bad habits as well, right? And up level what it is you're currently doing. Okay. So if you don't have time, time has to come from somewhere, right? And this is where we're teaching people to do time audits inside of well-oiled operations, right? A new and improved CEO schedule. Like how do we constantly look at what you're currently doing and how we make it better, how we make it more efficient, how we make you stronger, okay? So what you have to start to think about is how do we lessen and combine bad habits, okay? So bad habits if you like them. So maybe you're like, Stacey, I love TV and I'm not giving it up. Okay, totally fine with that. But could you maybe only watch TV while you're riding your bike, right? Or could you maybe watch TV while you're stretching, right? So maybe you combine that bad habit with something good that will still up level who you're going to be next year, right? And being just more effective, right? So maybe when you do the dishes or you do the laundry or whatever it is, you're pairing it now with an audiobook every time or a podcast, right? So think about what that looks like. And also there are ways to do it in moderation. So one of the things that I kind of have in my rules are like when the kids are in the car on the way to school, we listen to music. And then when I leave them and I head home, now there's a podcast or an audiobook on, right? So how can you put some of these new things into play? Now, sometimes it feels so restricting. So I remember I heard somebody say, I never watch TV. And I remember thinking, I don't want it that bad enough. Like I love TV. I don't want to not watch TV and make this much money. And last year, something in me changed a little bit. Like I really was like, I decided I really wanted the growth more than I wanted to watch like Netflix every night. And in January, I had this new rule of no TV on weeknights, that I would just watch TV on like, I don't want to say weeknights because I like Friday night, Saturday night, or Saturday during the day or Sunday during the day, but I would not watch it like Sunday evening, meaning like it's like a work night, a school night, right? And I will tell you that as hard as I thought that was going to be, I probably did that 80% of the time. Like we now have a habit of no TV before sleep, like during the middle of the week. And now I'm journaling and I'm listening to books and I'm reading books and I just feel different. I feel more refreshed. I'm getting better quality sleep. My deep sleep is insane because I just think of the way that I'm recharging myself. And if you're like, oh my goodness, she's so deprived, she's not watching TV. No, I am watching TV. I'm watching something though on the weekends, right? I just kind of shifted. So when you're like, I don't have time to watch a course. Well, now I'm going to sleep naturally. I'm going to sleep earlier. What's funny is TV would make me stay up later because I would kind of get hooked into the show. When I read, I actually get tired. So last night, this sounds so old lady-ish, but last night I didn't look at the clock. I was just getting really tired and I decided, okay, I'm going to sleep. And then I looked at the clock and it's at 8:30. But here's what's cool. Because I went to bed at 8:30, I woke up super early before my alarm clock went off, right? So it's like I'm able to jump in. And you know what? I did watch an online course. I'm actually in a program right now and I watch part of the video. So if you're like, I just don't know where I would squeeze this in, trust me. If you're like, oh, but I decompress with Netflix. If you did studies on what TV does to your brain, you might think it's decompressing you or it's making you feel better. It really isn't. If anything, it's stimulating you, okay? It's scientifically stimulating your brain, and then it's hurting your sleep. So there are just little things like that. I'm not saying cut out TV. All I'm saying is that was something I could never have fathomed, and I did change it, and now it's something I'm completely doing. And it's just part of my habit. Like it's just, that is just who I am now, is I just don't watch TV in the evenings. Okay. So little things like that, like what is your thing next year going to be? That's what I want you thinking about. Okay. So speaking of recharging, you can't outperform without recharging. It's absolutely like a must. Okay. So a couple things that I did that I really, really feel good about, and I want to share some strategies. Okay. So this was huge for me. Last year, I made a commitment to get a weekly 90-minute massage. That might sound extreme. It is extreme. I'm fully aware it is extreme. I did it every week except when I traveled. Okay. And even this, I just love it so much. And even when I don't do it for a week, I actually notice a pretty massive difference in my body, just how I feel, just it really affects me in general. So now when I travel, my goal is, how do I get a massage if I have to miss one of my days? How do I get a massage when I'm there? So now I just found a masseuse at our Florida home. So I know like who to call when I'm there. And then if I'm going to a hotel or something, I'm immediately looking at what the hotel is. Am I missing a massage? And do I need to schedule a spa day, or not a spa day, just a spa like hour, right, when I'm there? And sometimes it's as simple as I just get a massage when I'm at the airport. Like if you ever go past one of those massage places at the airport, 9 times out of 10 when I travel, I usually get one of those. Okay. So little things like that, like that recharges me. I am ecstatic about that. I like that for me is amazing. I was already doing it once a month. So if you think weekly is extreme, go to week, go to monthly, right? Go to twice a month, do whatever you want to do. And that's if it lights you up and if it recharges you. What's really cool is my Aura Ring shows it almost as if I'm sleeping, even though I'm not sleeping. Okay. Next, go for a walk outside. Okay. In the summer, I was walking 3 times a day. Oh my goodness. I love our summer so much. 3 times a day. Now my goal is once a day. Okay. I have a rule that if it is above 0 degrees, yes, zero, I am going to take, even if it's a 10-minute walk, I just got to get outside and I've got to get fresh air every day. Okay. So if it's above zero, my butt needs to get outside. I will say yesterday was very windy and like 30 something degrees, and I bundled up and I got outside and I felt so good coming home. Okay. So that's another big one. The next one for me that has been huge is vacation. So I'm getting to be a very big vacationer, which is the reason we bought the Florida home. And now it's like really looking at my schedule and making it work where I always know when my next vacation is. Even if it's 6 months from now for you, could you just book it? Okay. There is something about having it on the calendar, knowing it's coming, seeing it there, right? We just booked, I am obsessed. I can't even believe I didn't find out about this place until this year, but we're in Wisconsin, and in Michigan, there's this place called Mackinac Island, and I've heard about it forever. And everybody always says how amazing it is. My family's like, my mom's been there, my grandma's been there. And I just never went, because it's still, even though it's Michigan, remember we have Lake Michigan in between us. So I think it's still like an 8-hour drive. So it's not this quick little trip, and you can't fly there. You have to drive there from where I am. So I decided, okay, let's book that for summer. We loved it so much. Let's go back. So we've lived here all of our lives, and now we've booked it again this summer. And I could literally see this being like an annual thing, but it's not till summer. And we're talking about it. And the kids are talking about where we're going to stay and what we're going to do and where we're going to go back. And that alone, having that on the calendar and being able to talk about that is so helpful for your brain to know like a break is coming. Okay. Now, again, I am extreme. We are taking a vacation on a monthly basis. Not everybody can afford that. I will say that we just started to be able to afford that last year. That was not something I could do a couple years ago. Now we've literally budgeted for this vacation, which is why we could justify buying a house, because we were spending that much money on vacations. Okay. Another thing, you could take a half day on a Friday, half day in the middle of the week. Like if you're working too much, or here's the thing, if you're working 7 days, how can you say, I am taking off on Sunday. I am only going to work 6 days. If you're working 6 days, how do we get one of those weekend days off? Or if you need the weekend, how can we get you off in the middle of the week on a Wednesday? What can we do to lessen the time you're working right now? Okay. And then do your best to block those weekends. All right. Do your best. You can still be open on a weekend and just have somebody else work. I see too many people saying, oh, but Stacey, Saturday's our biggest day. great. You can have Saturdays open. You're going to hire somebody. You're going to have somebody who wants to work on a Saturday, get those Saturday hours. Okay. So we've got to be thinking about how can we specifically do this? Okay. This was long. There was a lot. If you want to outperform, of course, it's going to take some work. And you're not going to do it the way that you've been doing it because you're going to get the same results if you do that. Okay. So here's what I want you to know. If you work out, you know that rest days are just as important as workout days. Okay. It's on the rest day that the muscle is rebuilding itself, not on the workout day. Okay. It's after the workout. It's not during. It's the same for you when you're working. When I have the best ideas, it's when I'm walking or I'm on that vacation or I'm getting the massage, right? Like I've just checked out. Give yourself time and space to create what you want for 2023, okay? Now, as you're planning your 2023 profit plan, I hope you'll consider joining us in one of our three programs that we've got going on. We have something for every revenue level and every stage of business, okay? So DM me on Instagram at Stacey Tuschel, just the word program, and we can help you figure out what the best option for you is going to be, all right? Now, one more thing. If you love today's episode, I would be so grateful if you paused and left a review. When you do, it's going to show up in about 24 hours. Screenshot it, tag me on Instagram at Stacey Tuschel, and I'm going to send you a bonus quarterly planning mastermind session. It's about 90 minutes long. This was an exclusive training we did for our clients, just our paid members, not a free training. And I'm going to send that over to you as a little thank you for doing that. Okay. And then next week, the third and final part of Plan to Profit, we're talking about how to stick to your goals. Okay. There are a few things I do to make sure that when I set it, I stick to it. Okay. Very few people set goals to begin with, but even less actually stick to them and hit them. So join me next week and I'm going to be sharing my strategies on how I do that specifically. All right. Have a phenomenal week, everybody. I'll see you next week. And that's a wrap. If you're loving the Well-Oiled Operations podcast, then I know you would love our Well-Oiled Mastery Program. It's a 6-month program for you and your team to help you get the business running like a well-oiled operation. We pull back the curtain and share all of our systems when it comes to marketing, fulfillment, and operations. We guarantee to increase your profit margins while reducing your time by 25% or your money back. Head over to welloiledoperations.com and get your business running like a well-oiled operation today.